Chapter 3. Transformations of the Hero. 1. The Primordial Hero and the Human. We have come two stages. First, from the immediate emanations of the uncreated creating to the fluid yet timeless personages of the mythological age. Second, from these created creating ones to the sphere of human history. The emanations have condensed, the field of consciousness constricted. Where formerly causal bodies were visible, now only their secondary effects come to focus in the little hard-fact pupil of the human eye. The cosmogonic cycle is now to be carried forward, therefore, not by the gods, who have become invisible, but by the heroes, more or less human in character, through whom the world's destiny is realized. This is the line where creation myths begin to give place to legend, as in the book of Genesis, following the expulsion from the garden. Metaphysics yields to prehistory, which is dim and vague at first, but becomes gradually precise in detail. The heroes become less and less fabulous, until at last, in the final stages of the various local traditions, legend opens into the common daylight of recorded time. Mwetsi, the moon man, was cut loose like a fouled anchor. The community of the children floated free into the day world of waking consciousness. But we are told that there existed among them direct sons of the now submarine father, who, like the children of his first begetting, had grown from infancy to manhood in a single day. These special carriers of cosmic power constituted a spiritual and social aristocracy. Filled with a double charge of the creative energy, they were themselves sources of revelation. Such figures appear on the dawn stage of every legendary past. They are the culture heroes, the city founders. The Chinese chronicles record that when the earth had solidified and the people were settling in the riverlands, Fu Shi, the heavenly emperor, 2953-2838 BC, governed among them. He taught his tribes how to fish with nets, to hunt, and to rear domestic animals, divided the people into clans, and instituted matrimony. From a supernatural tablet entrusted to him by a horse-shaped scaly monster out of the waters of the river Meng, he deduced the 8 diagrams, which remain to this day the fundamental symbols of traditional Chinese thought. He had been born of a miraculous conception, after a gestation of 12 years, his body being that of a serpent with human arms and the head of an ox. Shen Nung, his successor, the earthly emperor, 2838-2698 BC, was 8 feet 7 inches tall, with a human body but the head of a bull. He had been miraculously conceived through the influence of a dragon. The embarrassed mother had exposed her infant on a mountainside, but the wild beasts protected and nourished it. And when she learned of this, she fetched him home. Shen Nung discovered in one day 70 poisonous plants and their antidotes. Through a glass covering to his stomach, he could observe the digestion of each herb. Then he composed a pharmacopoeia that is still in use. He was the inventor of the plow and a system of barter. He is worshipped by the Chinese peasant as the prince of cereals. At the age of 168, he was joined to the immortals. Such serpent kings and minotaurs tell of a past when the emperor was the carrier of a special world-creating, world-sustaining power, very much greater than that represented in the normal human physique. In those times was accomplished the heavy titan work, the massive establishment of the foundations of our human civilization. But with the progress of the cycle, a period came when the work to be done was no longer proto or superhuman. It was the labor specifically of man, control of the passions, exploration of the arts, elaboration of the economic and cultural institutions of the state. Now is required no incarnation of the moon bull, no serpent wisdom of the eight diagrams of destiny, but a perfect human spirit, alert to the needs and hopes of the heart. Accordingly, the cosmogonic cycle yields an emperor in human form, who shall stand for all generations to come as the model of man, the king. Huang Ti, the Yellow Emperor, 2697 to 2597 BC, was the third of the August Three. His mother, a concubine of the prince of the province of Chao Tien, conceived him when she one night beheld the golden dazzling light around the constellation of the Great Bear. The child could talk when he was 70 days old, and at the age of 11 years succeeded to the throne. His distinguishing endowment was his power to dream. In sleep, he could visit the remotest regions and consort with immortals in the supernatural realm. Shortly following his elevation to the throne, Huang Ti fell into a dream that lasted 3 entire months, during which time he learned the lesson of the control of the heart. After a second dream of comparable length, he returned with the power to teach the people. He instructed them in the control of the forces of nature in their own hearts. This wonderful man governed China for 100 years, and during his reign, the people enjoyed a veritable golden age. He gathered 6 great ministers around him, with whose help he composed a calendar, inaugurated mathematical calculations, and taught the making of utensils of wood, pottery, and metal, the building of boats and carriages, the use of money, and the construction of musical instruments of bamboo. He appointed public places for the worship of God. He instituted the bounds and laws of private property. His queen discovered the art of weaving silk. He planted 100 varieties of grain, vegetables, and trees, favored the development of birds, quadrupeds, reptiles, and insects, taught the uses of water, fire, wood, and earth, and regulated the movements of the tides. Before his death, at the age of 111, the phoenix and the unicorn appeared in the gardens of the empire in attestation to the perfection of his reign.